Corinthians chapter 12. Sometimes around Christmas in years gone by, the Lord has given me a little series to preach during December. I've done that, I think, a couple of times. I've preached on the family one year. And I can't even remember what else, but I've preached a few series around December, sort of try to help the church. And I do that a lot on maybe Wednesday nights, but rarely Sunday morning to Sunday morning. So I'm not saying that this will be a series, but it might be. So I was praying. I said, Lord, let every message be a message by itself. And then if the Lord leads next Sunday, we might pick up along the same lines. But, you know, this time of the year, we think a whole lot about gifts. You can't help it. The other day, I believe it was Wednesday, I usually get a newspaper every morning. And Kim said, where's the newspaper? Where's the newspaper? Didn't it come today? I want to get the sales papers. And I looked outside. I said, I don't think it's coming today. And at some time while she was getting ready, it came. And I went out there, and there was two big old bundles. And one was a newspaper full of sales papers, and the other was just sales papers all by itself. So you can't help but think about gifts at this time of the year, or at least buying things. But, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1, we'll begin reading there. It says this, now concerning spiritual gifts. That's what the Bible says. He said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Let's pray. Lord, we come today. I want to thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for letting us be here. Lord, I could go home today, right now, and say how good it has been in the house of the Lord today. I thank you for the good liberty to just worship. I thank you, Lord, for letting us be here. I thank you for the sunshine and the good testimonies that we've heard. We've heard about answers to prayer. We thank you for that. Lord, we know that you hear and you answer our prayers. We even learned and heard a little bit if we studied our lesson about how that as we get older, we ought to praise you more. And dear God, help us to be faithful to do that. But Lord, I pray you'd just speak to us for a little while from the Word of God that we might be edified, that we might be encouraged as thy people. That, Lord, we might see you work and continue to work in our midst. Help us, Lord, to be a church that you can use for your honor and for your glory. I pray you'd have your way right now. I pray for those objects that have just been mentioned. Lord, be with Matthew. Be with those that are sick. Have things going on, Lord, that we don't really know what the answer is. Be with those that are traveling, those that are away at school. Lord, we pray for them. Lord, just have your way right now. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Well, what I want to try to preach on this morning is found there in verse number 1, and we've already mentioned it, is the subject of spiritual gifts. The Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And if you know anything about the church at Corinth, you know they had some problems. In fact, they had a lot of problems. In fact, of all the churches that are mentioned in the New Testament, and there's several, we could say they had the most problems. And they had, and I'm not going to go down through the whole list, but if you just look through, skim through the book of Corinthians, you will know that they had divisions among them, chapter 1, verse number 10. They had contentions among them, chapter 1, verse 11. They were carnal in chapter 3, verse number 1, which means fleshly. They were the opposite of spiritual. You know, God's people ought to be spiritual. There ought to be something spiritual about us. But they were not spiritual. They were anything but. They were carnal. They were fleshly. A lot of times they acted like they were lost instead of saved people. That's what it is when you think about being carnal. Chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible says they were puffed up. They had among them this idea of, sometimes we say, big I, little you. There were some of them in the church that thought they were real, real important. And they thought that others were not so important. In fact, they thought that they were so important that they called into question the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And so he spent part of his time defending that he was an apostle and he had been sent among them. And so they had some problems along those lines. They had the idea that some of them were superior and some of them were inferior, weren't as important as the others. And all along, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to them, he desires to bring them to a place of spiritual maturity. And that's what the Lord desires for all of us. He wants to bring us to a place of spiritual maturity in our lives, where we can be used of Him, where we can be fruitful in the Lord's service. But that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen over a few weeks or sometimes even a few years. We are to continually grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really and truly, our latter years ought to be our best years. That would go right along with the lesson this morning, the Sunday school lesson. But it's the Lord's desire to bring us to a place of spiritual maturity. And I noticed as I was studying that the Apostle Paul, he takes one chapter to discuss immorality in the church. There was sin in the church. Chapter number 5, he takes one chapter, and it's a short chapter, to deal with the subject of immorality that was going on in the church. And he tells them what they ought to do and how they ought to deal with it. But I think it's interesting that he takes three chapters to deal with spiritual gifts. It's not just chapter 12. It's all of chapter 12, all of chapter 13, and all of chapter 14. And they are longer chapters. Chapter 14 has 40 verses in it. So he takes three chapters to deal with the subject of spiritual gifts. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and say that most Christians know very little about spiritual gifts. And I'll go further and say that what most Christians know about spiritual gifts is probably wrong. They probably got a lot of wrong ideas about what it means to have a spiritual gift. I mean, after all, as Baptists, we'd probably say, well, that's not our thing. You know, go to a Pentecostal church or go to a Assembly of God or something. I'm not throwing off, but I'm saying, you know, they would talk and preach more about gifts than you'd find in your average Baptist church on any given Sunday morning or Wednesday night. I think another problem that's across the board as far as modern day Christianity is concerned, we hear a great deal about Savior, but we hear very little about Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior. What I mean by that, we hear that we need to be saved. We hear that Jesus died for us. But how often do we hear that we are to die for Him? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He referred to, I die daily. We are to die for Him. that we might live for Him. He died for us so we might live for Him. But we hear the message all the time, Jesus died for you. You need to be saved, and that's a true message. But He died for you not just so you could be saved and sit on the sideline, but so that He could use you and me and the church for His honor and for His glory. If you're saved, the Lord wants to use you. And you know what? He has given spiritual gifts unto the church. And the subject of spiritual gifts reminds us of His lordship over the church. He gives gifts to who He will. He gives gifts how He wants to give them. They're to be used for His honor and for His glory. He has a plan for the church. He has power to give to the church that we might be used of Him, that we might bring glory to Him in the day and in the time in which we live. So we're thinking about spiritual gifts, that God might use them in our lives to bring us to a place of usefulness and maturity in our Christian lives. There's three things I want to point out about spiritual gifts. First of all, there's the preview. Verses 1 through 3 are the introduction, but lining up all of our letters this morning, there's the preview, verses 1 through 3. First of all, He said in verse number 1, He said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." That's the subject of chapter 12. Chapter 13, chapter 14 is spiritual gifts. And here's what Paul says, "I would not have you ignorant." I said something the other day to Kim, and I might not ought to say it, but we was talking about something, and I, you know, people do things, and I just can't believe it. And we were talking about something that we had come to know about that was going on in a church, and I said, "Are people stupid or ignorant?" Sometimes you wonder that. I mean, some of the things that goes on in the name of Christianity, it just makes you wonder, where are people's heads at? It's not in the Word of God. Well, it might not be nice to say somebody's stupid, but Paul said some of them was ignorant. And he said, "I would not have you to be ignorant." If you were, if we were in the Word of God like we ought to be, there wouldn't be this ignorance that is out there. So he said that, "I would not have you, brethren." He's talking to saved people. "I would not have you to be ignorant. I want you to be informed about this. I want you to know what the Word of God says about this." Verse number 2. He said, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And he frames the subject. This is his introduction. This is how he leads into the subject. He frames it this way, by reminding them, "Ye were." He reminds them where they came from. Before they got saved. Before they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." You know, he had just talked to them. He had written to them about them being puffed up. But he reminds them when he comes to the subject of spiritual gifts, he reminds them, "You don't have anything to be puffed up about. You don't have anything to brag about. If there's any good thing about any of us, it is because of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, and it is nothing to do with us. You are Gentiles, carried away by dumb idols." Now, if you're carried away by a dumb idol, what's that make you? You'd have to be dumber, wouldn't you? Say, that's not the way that word is used there. I know. But that thought just come to my mind. If you're carried away by a dumb idol, and let me say that this carrying away, That an idol might be a dumb idol, meaning it doesn't speak or hear. That's what that literally means. But there is a power behind a dumb idol. There is a power behind false religion, and there's a great deal of false religion in the world. If you look back in chapter 10, verse number 20, look what Paul said back there. He said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 20, he said, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." There is a satanic power behind false religion. And these Gentiles were carried away. They were led away into this falseness. Behind every false religion is satanic power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," little g, "the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Before you were saved by the grace of God, you were in darkness, you were in blindness. You could not hear the voice of God. You could read the Word of God, but it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever to you. You're lost. You're under the power and the influence of the devil. It's what the Bible says. But now you're not like that. He said you were like that. You got anything good to brag about today, you better brag about the Lord. Because if it wasn't for Him, you'd be in darkness and on your way to darkness. Lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. Undone. No hope in this world. No hope in the world to come. Paul said we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And the first thing you need to remember is you don't have anything to brag about. You're lost. You're heathens. You're idolaters. You're barbarians. You're on the road to hell. But the good grace of God came by and saved you by His marvelous grace. Better remember that first and foremost. You don't have anything to brag about. We don't have anything to brag about. He said in verse number 3, if you look there, he said, verse 3, he said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." We've been studying in school this past semester. The class is called Kingdom of the Cults. Studying all the false religions. You know, they all have one thing in common. When it comes right down to it, technically, they don't have anything good to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter how religious, how flowery a person's language is, how good their works are. If they deny the Lord Jesus Christ and His deity, if they deny His power, if they deny His word, they are lost without God. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot that has church on the sign. They might be from a denomination that once upon a time proclaimed the gospel throughout all the world. But there's a lot of people who have gone liberal in their mind and in their thinking, and now they deny Him. They say, "I don't know if Jesus Christ performed all those miracles or not." They say, "Now, we believe that He was a good man, but we don't know if He was the Son of God." You know what? When somebody says something like that, you know what that lets me know? That lets me know they're lost. They don't know the Lord Jesus that I know. I heard a Jewish person testify one time, and they was talking about when they'd gotten saved. They'd gotten saved and come to accept the Lord Jesus, but they said when they were growing up in their home that they were not allowed to speak His name. the Lord Jesus Christ. The Muslims say that Jesus was a prophet, but not the Son of God. If you deny the Lord Jesus and call him accursed, you're lost according to the Word of God. Then it says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If you're saved by the grace of God, you know he's the Lord. He's not this capital L-O-R-D. He's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is in your King James Bible. That's Jehovah God. That's the Creator God. If you're not saved, you cannot testify that. You cannot profess that even out of your mouth. What he's telling the Corinthians there when he comes down the subject of spiritual gifts, he's reminding them, we're nothing. He's everything. He's the Lord. That's the preview. That would help us in our church life, in our Christian life, if we'd have the Lord Jesus where he deserves to be. And that is front and center on the throne of our lives as the Lord of our lives. He's the Lord. And so there's the profession of the child of God that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's the preview. Then verses 4 through 6, there's the possibilities. The possibilities of spiritual gifts. Now, beginning in verse number 4, he said, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now that word diversities there, it means where we would use the word diverse, which just simply means there's variety. With the Lord, there are infinite possibilities and variety in the work of the Lord. And when we're talking about the Lord, you think about how the Lord can paint a sunset. Does he do it the same every day? Or could you set out and watch the sun go down? Or could you get out early and watch the sun come up every morning? And every morning it's beautiful. And every day it's different. And there's variety. And I don't care how many sunsets you've seen in your life, there'll be one this coming week. You'll say, that is beautiful. I've never seen it like that before. It's just beautiful. We're talking about the possibilities of the Lord, what the Lord can do. And it is amazing what the Lord can do in our lives. When I was a young preacher, there was pressure to be like somebody. I think everybody feels like that at some point or another. If you do something for the Lord, if you teach a class or if you sing in the choir or anything like that, you say, well, I've got to be like so-and-so was. And it's all right to have people to look up to. But it's good to learn that God wants you to be you. God made you different. Each and every one of us, we are all different from each other. And God takes a different person and a different personality and a different background and different ways that we've learned things and different gifts and different talents, and he puts it all together and he makes an individual and he says, I want Wynn Greer to serve me as Wynn Greer, saved, sanctified, sold out. And God can take and use you, and God can take and use me. Endless possibilities. There are diversities, the Bible says. Differences. That's just simply what that means. Now, there are diversities of gifts. God takes one, he gives somebody a little more, another a little less. Somebody might have two, might have three gifts or talents, and boy, it just makes things real interesting in the church. I'm amazed that God can use anybody. When I look at us humans and the way that we are, it's just a miracle that the Lord can use anybody. But he does, and he wants to, and he desires to take the youngest among us and use us, or the oldest, or the middlest. It doesn't matter. God, I mean, that ought to thrill you. God's got something for you to do, and he will gift you to do what he wants you to do. There are diversities of gifts, the Bible says. Then verse number 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That word administration, if you'll look real close, the word ministry is in that word. There are differences of ministries. Administrations, ministrate, ministry. There's different ways of management. Think about this. I learned this when I lived out west. I heard a preacher preach, or I read it in a book. I can't remember, but I remember learning it when I was out there. Somebody gave the illustration of the farmer and the rancher. They're both basically doing the same thing, just on different scales. Now, the farmer, he's got his hands on everything. His administration of his farm, he's got to milk the cows early in the morning. He's got to go out, he plows the fields. He's got to build the fences. He's got to put the roof back on the barn. He's got to go to town and buy the supplies and bring them home and put them up and get the cows in again and do it all over. And he works way into the night, and he is hands on everything. It's how the farmer lives his life. But then the rancher, you go out west, he's doing things on a whole different scale. He does not have hands on everything. It's not physically possible for him to have hands on everything. He's got to have a lot of help. He's got help in the kitchen. He's got cowboys that all they do is take care of the cattle and watch after them. He's got a crew out there that all they do is work on the fences and work on the equipment and get in the hay and all of those things. He's got somebody that goes to town and gets supplies, and he oversees and he manages all those different things that are going on. Is one wrong and the other right? No. They're both doing the same thing. They just got different ways that they have to go about it. Do you know that applies in the church as well? You think about that in the church. You think about the pastor. I've been a pastor that I had to have hands on everything, because they're just a few of us. But there's enough of us where the pastor doesn't have to do everything. Somebody can take a load off here and take a load. There's differences of administrations. There's different ways to govern things. There's different ways to manage, we might say. But it doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong. He said in verse number 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. There are diversities of operations. Operations is the process of operating. Somebody said, and it always happens like this. If a church in the county does something and have a little success, everybody else thinks they've got to do the same thing. Well, the church down the road's doing this. Well, so what? Maybe that's what God called them to do. But that doesn't mean God called all of us to do the same thing. There are diversities of operations. There's different ways of operating. How we do things is what that's talking about. There are diversities of operation. There's a different that you go from church to church, you'll find that different churches worship differently. Every church has its own personality. Brother Melvin, he knows that. You go to some churches and they worship different. Maybe they're louder. You know, we're quieter. Does that make it bad? That's not a bad thing. The thing to measure by is their liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. It doesn't matter to me how quiet a church is as long as there is liberty. I've been to churches that were loud, but there wasn't that much liberty. There was a lot of amening, but it sort of interrupting instead of amening. Wasn't that much liberty. Churches worship differently. There are differences of operations, how we worship, how we support missionaries or take them on, how we conduct our business meetings. All this comes under the area of operations, these different ways of doing things. How and when we have the Lord's Supper, some churches have it one time a year. Some churches have it four times a year. If you look back in chapter number 11, it does not say how many times to have the Lord's Supper. It just says as oft as you do this. Two times a year, is that wrong or is that right? The Bible doesn't say. There's diversities, there's differences, there's different ways to operate. And there's endless possibilities in that. But I want you to notice in verses 4, 5, and 6, it says this. Diversities of gifts. Notice the last part. He said, but the same Spirit. Look what he said in verse 5. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Look what he said in verse 7, or verse number 6. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You know what that means? That means that although there's all these possibilities and all this variety and all the different possibilities of administration, that means that we don't have permission to rewrite the book. And it's the same Lord. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. That's why you can go to a different church and worship the Lord. If they are worshiping like they ought to be, we all have the same master. We all have the same God that we're serving. And that doesn't mean we've got permission to just do whatever we want to do. There's a lot of things that are the same and they will not change. No matter spiritual gifts, the Lord has still designated that it is through His church He'll do His work upon this earth. Read the book of Acts. And it's not some universal invisible church that you cannot see or go to or you don't know who the pastor is. It's the local church. Jesus died for the church, gave Himself for it, shed His blood, bought and paid for the church, local church. He works through local churches. I do not believe it's the will of God for everybody to quit out the local church in their community and everybody go to the big church in town. You leave the church out of the community and you're taking the light out of the community. God's called us to minister and exercise our spiritual gifts in this community. To be a blessing, to be a benefit, so souls can be saved for His honor and His glory. The Lord works through the church. God didn't call the government to preach the gospel. He gave the responsibility unto the church. All these para-church organizations. Para, that's an organization that has Christian, but it's not operating out of a local church. I do not see the precedent in the Word of God for that. Do you? You know, that's where the word parasite comes from too. A parasite lives off of you and it'll kill you if something's not done about it. It's where the word piranha comes from too. You think about that when you think about the para-church organizations. I know there's some good. I know there's some schools. I know there's some ministries. And for all the good they do, I say, praise the Lord. But never should it replace the church. Never should we get to the place where we're not operating out of the local church. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God, same Bible. We don't have permission to rewrite the book. What to all worship, John 4 and 24. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you went to the Caribbean islands to a church down there that believed like we do, you'd find out that their worship service wasn't like ours. But it still ought to be in spirit and in truth. God has not given us the permission to rewrite and make worship something that is carnal and not spiritual. And there's a lot of carnal attempts at worship going on. Bringing in the rock and roll, bringing in the drums, bringing in the guitars. Man, I hate that stuff. If we're going to have something worldly, let's just call it rock and roll. If we're going to worship God, let's worship Him according to the Bible. Let's worship Him according to spirit and truth, as it says in John 4:24. And not try to make any bones about it. If you want to play the drums, go to the bar and play the drums. If you want to worship God, let's come to church and let's have Ephesians 5:18, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let's make it spiritual. Not try to mix it all together. We do not have the permission to rewrite and make worship something that it's not. Pastors are always going to be men. Amen? I mean, it's same Spirit, same Lord, same God, same book we're reading out of. That always stumps me when I meet a lady that says she's a pastor or a preacher. I want to say, don't you have 1 Timothy in your Bible, or does it even matter? Because it says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Talking about you'll always have men as pastors. We do not have permission to just go off and say, I'm going to do my own thing. God's given me this special gift. All of our gifts, what I'm saying, all of our gifts ought to line up with the Word of God. There's the possibilities, though, are endless. Even within that, chapter 14, verse number 40, the Bible said this, let all things be done decently and in order. How would we know what that was if it wasn't for the Word of God? God has given us His Word to line up with. And as we line up with the Word of God, we'll know it's being done decently and in order. The possibilities, though, within that are endless. There's the possibilities. There's the preview. Last of all, there's the purpose. Look at verse number 7. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. There's two things there's about spiritual gifts in verse number 7. Number one, spiritual gifts are personal gifts. He said there, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Every saved person, man, woman, child, God's given them a gift. Every person. I really think we're messing up in the church when we preach that, you know, just the preachers, the missionaries, the teachers, when we're leaving out a whole segment, I don't care who you are, God's got something for you to do. God's got a gift for you, and you are the only one that can do that gift. And if you look at all of chapter 12, and if God allows us to go on, we'll see that. They're personal gifts. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's wonderful. You ought to know that you're saved. You ought to know that you're going to heaven, but what are you doing with your salvation? What does God want you to do? He wants you to do something, and He's going to gift you to do what He wants you to do. That's a pretty good deal. You don't have to go out here and just find something. God will gift every man, every woman. A gift may be a very ordinary thing, or it might be extraordinary, but it's still a gift. If it's ordinary and you're the only one that can do it, that's extraordinary. I'll illustrate it like this. We've heard it said, it takes 3 books to run the church. Checkbook, songbook, and the Bible. And the word Bible means the book. You got to have all three to run the church. You got to have the checkbook. You can't do what we do without a checkbook. Somebody wrote a check. The lights are on this morning. There's the evidence. It's got to be done. You got to have a songbook. You know how hard it would be to come and worship and we have no song, we have no singing? Well, that adds to the worship of the Lord. And first and foremost, you got to have the book. Have the book. But not everybody is gifted in all areas. You would not want me to handle the checkbook. Ask Kim. I've tried before. I hate that. I hate that mess. I am not gifted that way. I hate paperwork. I come home, Kim says, did you get the mail? I said, why would I want to get the mail? I don't care if it falls out in the street. I hate paperwork. Is anybody else like that? Hey, man, I just hate dealing with that. It's not my thing. I'm not gifted at all. You wouldn't want me doing that. But the fact that somebody does it, Brother James, Sister Rebecca, and they do such a good job. Praise the Lord. To me, that's a gift. Boy, I'm glad somebody can do that. And I hope you enjoy it. And I hope God just loads you down with blessings. But I hope I never have to do it. That's not my gift. That is not my gift. If I had to lead the singing, I could, but you probably wouldn't enjoy it very much. You'd probably get in a prayer group. Oh, God, send us somebody else to lead the singing. Boy, I've been to some churches. They were not very blessed with a good choir. I'm not throwing off. I'm just being honest. I've been in it. Ow. That's almost painful. It's just, you know, good melody and the blending together and the different parts and all that. Praise the Lord, what a blessing that is. I could fill in every once in a while during an emergency, but honest, I've done it before. That's not my gift. My gift is in the realm of preaching and teaching, and that's where God has gifted me at. That's what God has called me to. But do you know, there are endless gifts in the church. Things that need to be done. Things that people can do, and I mean, they're just naturals at it. And they just flourish at it. That's a gift. That is a gift from the Lord. It is a personal gift. God gives the church, and God, boy, He knows how to put people in the church. That comes on in chapter number 12. We'll not deal with all that, but they're personal gifts. Look in verse 7. They are profitable gifts. He gives spiritual gifts. Why? To make you happy and feel good? No. So somebody brag on you? No. But according to the Word of God, He gives the manifestation of the Spirit, this is talking about spiritual gifts, to every man, here is why, to profit with all. Now we don't use that word with all, that's an old word. But you know what, you don't have to go to school to find out what it means. It means, it's two words, with all. With all, everybody, all the rest. To profit everybody else. To profit the whole church. You didn't even have to learn Greek to learn what that meant. To profit with all. Everybody. The gifts are to profit the whole church. They are profitable gifts. Look at verse number 12. He said this. I'll just quickly point something out. He said, and we're talking about with all the rest. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Every member of your body is to profit all the rest of the body. My right hand's going to profit the rest of my body here in just a little while. I might eat left-handed sometimes. If it's real good, I can dish it in both hands. Profits with all. And every person and every one of us has a contribution that will profit everybody else, because the church is like a body. And you got to have a hand and a foot, and a big toe is really important and a little toe is important. Somebody was talking about that a little while back, how important your little toe was. And if you don't believe it, just come to my house when they've been playing Legos and come through in the middle of the night. You'll know how important your feet are. Profit with all. The lesson of spiritual gifts. I'm going to close here in just a moment. What do we learn from all this? How do we apply it to our lives? The lesson of spiritual gifts is this, and this will really help you if you'll grab a hold of it. No one can or should do everything. Nobody can do everything. If you are trying to do everything, you are going to get frustrated. Nobody can do everything, but nobody is called to do nothing. Is that good English? Nobody is called to just sit on the sideline, and you say, I'm saved, and God says, well, just sit over there. Can I help? Nah, we got it. God's got something for everybody to do. That's the lesson of spiritual gifts. That's why it ought to thrill us. You say, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a singer. Boy, what a blessing. God's got something special for you to do. There's a lot of things that people can do, a little bit of all that needs to be done. But God's got things to do out here to benefit. He's got something for everybody. Personally, I've found this. I've learned this. I preached a message one time, and I preached it here. But I didn't preach it here as a pastor. I preached it here as a missionary. And I preached it in the church in Idaho. And then we came home, vacation or something. I can't remember, but Carl asked me to come preach. I preached it here on deputation. I preached a message out there, and I just simply called it, I Quit. I quit my job. I'm not going to ask if anybody remembers. It's probably hurt my feelings, but I preached it here. And I stood up in front of the church and I wrote my resignation out to the church. But I didn't really quit. I didn't quit preaching. I just quit trying to do everything. Because I realized that as I tried to do everything, that I could not do everything, and all you end up doing is a little bit of everything with poor quality. You spread yourself so thin that it's like one of Kim's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She put on just a little bit of peanut butter and just a little bit of jelly. See, she grew up in the Depression. And they didn't have much when they was growing up. She made me a sandwich one time. I looked at it, I said, I'd like an adult sandwich. I want about a quarter of an inch of peanut butter and about a half an inch of jelly. If you spread yourself so thin that you're doing everything, you're just not going to get blessed by that, and you're not going to be a blessing. It's going to rob all your joy. But if you'll get in your gift groove, and I don't know if that's proper language, but if you'll get to doing the thing that God's called you to do, and somebody else does the thing that God's called them to do, and somebody else gets to doing what God's gifted them to do, man, it'll be amazing in the church what the church can do for the honor and the glory of the Lord. He made us like a body. Give us all something to do. Some's a mouth, some's a big toe, some's a little toe. You got to have your little toe. You got to have it. So there's lessons about spiritual gifts. We're talking about gifts that God gives. And boy, if you'll get to doing the gift that God has called you to do, you talk about joy and peace. Joy and peace doesn't come from shopping on Black Friday or getting a good gift. But you get God's good spiritual gifts going on in your life, and you'll find I have a peace and joy that I never had before. Because God's called me to do something, I'm doing it. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and